you are listening to It's Your Money, the weekly podcast that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. Welcome. My name is Paul Nichols. I'm your host. I'm also the president of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisory firm in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, actually smack dab in the middle of the state in what we call Happy Valley. Some of you may be familiar with Happy Valley. Obviously, for those of you that are local, you're very familiar, but for those of you that aren't, you're probably familiar with Happy Valley through the illustrious Penn State sports program and Beaver Stadium. But welcome, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I hope this finds you well. I hope you're having a super-duper day. I'm having an exciting Tuesday. I'm going to do the norm, which is the market update today. I believe it's important that we understand where the market is. So if we understand where the market is, in a well-diversified, academically designed portfolio, we know exactly where our portfolio is because it should be indicative of the market as a whole. I have a book endorsement today and a little bit of a story or some thoughts I'd like to share with you on a book. I've run across a book recently that I've fallen in love with. In fact, right after reading it, I ordered a case. I think it was Amazon, but anyway, I'm going to share some thoughts with you on that and do our normal review of the overview of an academic approach to investing. And so far, even with the minor lapse that we've had in the emerging market sector of the world, being Egypt of late, and the coup or struggles they're having over there with Mubarak, even with that, the market is looking very dandy, and it's a beautiful thing. I love the market. It is an incredible wealth-producing entity. It is absolutely the best wealth-producing entity known to man. Nothing compares to the market. You have 2 out of every 3 years is up, 1 out of every 3 years is down. We just never know when, where. And as a result, I personally believe, as do many Nobel laureates and many Ivy League and not just Ivy League, but notable professors and educators and academics and scientists and economists from around the world believe the same, that investing is fairly simple. That is, own equities. Realize it's a long-term thing, and on a side note, sometimes it might make more sense to keep your income sources outside of the market, but own equities. Diversify. Understand the concept of umbrellas and suntan lotion as a quick picture, and realize that rebalancing is not a voluntary issue or activity when it comes to building a well-diversified portfolio and long-term investing, but it's an absolute necessity. And hopefully you have fallen in to a very narrow group of financial professionals in this country that espouse an academic approach, although I think the word's getting out there, ladies and gentlemen. It certainly has in the last couple of years. It's incredible what the market's done the last couple of years. And for those of you that have been on the sidelines and didn't receive very respectable returns last year, well, I feel bad for your situation, but you can fix it. Today's the first day for the rest of your life, my grandfather has always said. And at 93, it's one of those things, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Remember those commercials? Well, whenever you have a 90-year-old speak, and I normally listen, keep my mouth shut and listen to what they have to say, it's incredible the wisdom that we have all around us if we just have the openness to see. You know, some people are so narrow-minded they can look through a keyhole with both eyeballs, and it generally falls in the brother-in-law. Have you ever noticed that? The brother-in-law always seems to fall into that arena. But anyway, market update. How are we doing for February 14th as of business close? February 14th, 2011. February 14th, 2011, as of business close. Let's look at the market. Russell 2500. This index measures small to mid-sized companies. Almost 7% up, ladies and gentlemen. Small to mid-sized growth companies, almost 7% as of 2/14/2011. Russell 2000, well, that would be small to micro-sized companies. Well, it looks like it's 5.5. Ain't it great? Russell 2000 Value Index, which measures small cap value. By the way, what's the difference between a growth and a value company? Well, you know, the easiest definition I have found is, and it may be an older analogy, is the Walmart-Kmart analogy. You know, prior to Kmart being purchased by Sears, they had some challenges. They were never what I would consider and most would consider a bad company. They were just distressed. And basically, a value company is simply a company that would be considered an unexcellent company, where a growth company like a Walmart would be considered, you know, an excellent company. You should get good earnings. When they go to borrow money or do business, they're going to get the best deals. Their share prices holds value, et cetera, et cetera. Where a value company, we should expect, and scientifically and academically, the numbers prove out, especially when you look at the three-factor formula by Professor Fama and French, value actually has about a 1-3% risk premium over growth companies. That simply means, ladies and gentlemen, that by owning a value company, historically, it's returned better than a growth company, and common sense would lead us to the same conclusion, would it not? If I invested in a company that was unexcellent or, you know, struggling a bit, I would expect a higher return for the investment that I make in that company. It just stands to reason. And that would hold true in value over growth companies. However, the trade-off is that a value company historically has a higher level of risk than a growth company would have, that being measured by standard deviation. You don't need to understand the formula of standard deviation or how to apply it. All you really need to understand about the term standard deviation is that it is a measurement of risk. The larger the number, more risk. Smaller number, less risk. And standard deviation, in very simple terms, is a way to compare apples to oranges to tangerines to pears. It's in a way to take many different financial products, vehicles, investments, and compare them. So anyway, value. Let's get back to the Russell 2000 Value Index. We just went through small growth. Let's do small value. And that's up just shy of 5%. So we're 5.5 to 7, respectively, in small to micro growth and a little shy of 5 in value. Wonderful. I hope you own small. I rarely see it in most portfolios because the big managers are mostly chasing large companies, which brings us to the Russell 1000 Value. That would measure the performance of large value companies in the United States. That is about 5.8%. And the S&P 500, this is the one most of us see on TV. We don't know why, generally, but this is the one that we see, and it's widely regarded as the best single gauge of the U.S. equities market. And it's just shy of 6%. So in the U.S., happy days. Large is up. Growth is up. Value's up. Small is up. Ain't it great? It's a beautiful thing. This is why we should be in the market. This is why we're in the market long term. And this is why we own the entire marketplace. You never know. You know, we never know whether the market's going to be a bull or a bear, but we do know we're going to get whatever the market will bear from year to year because we believe the market's efficient, that you should understand that all the prices of goods and services are factored in to the price of a product, and the only thing that changes the price of a share would be new and unknowable information, and it's factored in immediately. We believe the market's efficient. We believe in Harry Markowitz, who's the godfather of modern portfolio theory. We believe in the three-factor model that you should own small, growth, large, value, cash. You should get a risk premium for what you own. And we believe you should use filters and engineer. Think about it kind of as you've heard of active trading. I certainly do not pursue that or believe in it. If the fees to pursue it could be offset by beating the market, I would be for it, but there's no research to prove that out whatsoever. So you go with more of a passive approach to investing, which would really be just kind of buying an index fund. Well, the downside with an index fund is you own everything. If you could do a passive approach and engineer filters, then you would have what they call structured investing. So basically, We want to own the entire marketplace and then rebalance on a regular basis. So the U.S., up to this point in 2011, we get to do a woo-yah. That wouldn't be a booyah, but a woo-yah. So basically, that comes from my military background. Anyway, let's go on to international. Morgan Stanley, Capital, International. We're going to use those indices. Let's start with the World Index. That would be a weighted index that's designed to measure the equity performance of developed markets. These would include Austria, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, Germany, Hong Kong, Italy, Japan, Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Portugal, etc. About 5%, so it's a beautiful thing. This takes us to the Morgan Stanley, Capital International Emerging Markets, which is designed to measure the equity performance of emerging markets, i.e. Chile, China, Colombia, Egypt, Hungary, India, Poland, Russia, South Africa, etc. And it's down about 4%, and I believe a big part of that would be the turmoil currently going on in Egypt. This brings us to the last index of note, and that would be the Morgan Stanley Capital International Europe, Australia, and Far East. And that's a little over 4% up. So it's a beautiful thing. Ladies and gentlemen, at this point, predominantly the entire marketplace is up with the exception of emerging markets. And again, we never know whether we're going to have a sunny day or a rainy day. So prudence would force us to be prepared for either. As a result, we're not going to chase the market and what's up, like small last year, or international the year before, or cash and bonds the year before. But we're going to own everything, rebalance, lock in our gains quarterly, and realize that the market is the best wealth-producing entity known to man. And if you have your money invested in the entire marketplace, you can simply look back at the indices historically and realize that you're going to win even net of fees. With that being said, let me just leave that alone. Market update. I hope you all appreciate this market update. I know we get emails, and thank you very much for those. We have about 1,000 downloads of this show a month, which is really extraordinary when you think of just our modest practice in Central PA, and I only do 3 or 4 of these a month. But I think it speaks to the fact that people are really starving for very simple, grounded, common-sense approach to investing that cuts through all the minutiae and really pulls back the curtain and gets, you know, look, you don't need to know everything. You just need to know the few right things. And I believe most of what we see and hear out there as it relates to investing is nothing short of investment pornography, investment hype, investainment, if you will. It's not really designed to help people get educated, knowledge is power, and make prudent decisions, but rather it's designed to titillate our greedy, hubris, egocentric nature, and we're all the same. I mean, people are the same. I've been all over the world. I've done a lot of business all over the world, and people are the same in South America as they are in Central America, as they are in Asia, as they are in Europe, as they are here. We all have the same desires. We want comfort. We want clarity. We like to have confidence, you know, loved ones, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, you can have peace of mind when it comes to investing, and I hope that this show and what you can get from us weekly enriches your life enough to make some good decisions. And, of course, our website, Ask the Coach, you can go Ask the Coach at Financial Abundance. You can just Google me, the Investor Coach, or Google Paul Nichols, or Google Financial Abundance. You'll find our site. There's a plethora of information on there. There's a year's worth of videos from NBC News that I did locally, 3 years of hour to 2 hour shows from my syndicated radio show, and of course years of podcasts now, videos. There's a lot of information on there. But I do want to direct you specifically to one area and offer something this week. Where I'd like to direct you is to our recommended reading list on our website, Financial Abundance. And there's a book on there. It's the number one book on the list right there now, or the top of the list. And it's a book that's about 70 or so pages, and I believe it is the best financial primer on investing I think I've ever read in my life. I immediately upon finishing it and sitting down about an hour or so and reading it, I purchased a case. I've been handing them out to family like crazy. I immediately went to my wife and asked her if she would read it.
And I rarely ask her to read anything as it relates to my vocation, but this is so important that she understand the basics in this book if I were gone. And it's very important that every single one of you, every single one of you that's listening to this should own this book and pick it up and devour it, and maybe go back and refer to it. It really is the best book I've ever read on investing. And it's very simple. It's called The Investment Answer. A gentleman by the name of Gordon Murray wrote it along with Daniel Goldie. You've probably seen this all over the place. Mr. Murray just died a few weeks back, had terminal brain cancer, been in the business for many years, a Wall Street insider, investment level investor, Goldman Sachs. Been in all the meetings, seen all the stuff, and really made it a legacy, if you will, before he died, to pull back the curtain as we do on a regular basis and expose the facts about investing. And ladies and gentlemen, it is right in tune with what I teach, what I believe to my absolute core when it comes to investing and really applying an academic approach. And it is nice to have validation every so often. When you are fighting the masses, which has been my mantra pretty much my whole life, it can wear on you a little bit. But you know, people of integrity expect to be believed. And when they're not, they let time prove them right. And the older I get and the more years that go by, I'm so excited that I didn't take the short road, but took the long road and was open-minded enough when someone came along in my life. You know, it's often interesting. I heard something many years ago. I forget whether it was at a function or whatever it was. But the comment was, when the student's ready, the teacher will appear. And oftentimes the student's not ready until something's happened. Have you ever tried to share with a loved one or a friend or a family member a nugget, something you picked up in your life the hard way? Generally with children, I find this. And you try to get them to avoid that same pitfall. But ladies and gentlemen, some things you just got to kind of fall on your face and get dirty and realize, you know what? Even though people have been telling me I shouldn't do that or I should change my thinking, it takes getting slapped in the head once in a while or kicked in the backside. You know, it's an old saying. I really believe this wholeheartedly. Doing a lot of coaching and counseling for, geez, it's been going on, what, almost 25 years now. I had a mentor of mine many years ago say to me something that was rather shocking at the time, I thought. He said, Paul, you know, when you see a good man or woman that's down, don't baby them, kick them, they'll get up. And I said, well, that's kind of rough. He goes, well, hey, man, it's reality. You cannot keep a good person down. And generally, most people that are good, strong people, you kick them, they're going to get up and say, I'm going to kick his butt now, okay? So sometimes it takes getting kicked in the pants or having a challenge for us to have a paradigm shift, a different way of looking at something. Hopefully, it doesn't take a terminal brain cancer for you to perhaps say, you know what, maybe I need to look at things a little differently. It's interesting, you know, how much time do we spend chasing money? How many conversations in your home has created elevated blood pressure in the room? I submit to you, I would wonder if we took the financial arguments out of the couple's marriages in our country, what would be left to fight about? But yet, how many of us really understand just the very basics of investing? Rather, we take a lemming-like look at it and just kind of follow the crowd. I hope you're not doing that. I'm sure you're not because you're listening to the show. Go pick up this book, The Investment Answer. I encourage you not to order one, but order 5 or 10. Get it for yourself, read it, give it to your kids, give it to your siblings, give it to your friends, give it to your family, give it to people you care about. It may make a huge difference in their life. 70 pages, spare me, you don't have time to sit down for an hour or two and read a book. I don't even want to hear that excuse, okay? Come on, seriously. If you don't, then shame on you, you know? And you shouldn't be complaining to anybody except yourself in the mirror for just, you know, not taking personal responsibility. But I apologize for getting on a rant here. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to stress to you, I haven't been this passionate about promoting something, and I don't pimp You guys know, if you've been listening to my show for any period of time, it's been about 4 years now, I rarely pimp anything. I'm going to pimp this book, and I have no reason to do it outside of the edification that it could bring to your life. So, The Investment Answer. Buy it. Buy a dozen of them. Hand them to people you know. It'll change your life. It'll change yours. It's pretty incredible. With that being said, this is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. You don't need to know everything about investing. You just need to know the few right things. And I hope that you have an investor coach helping you. If you don't, if you just have another registered representative that's hawking this month's or this week's sales pitch that the firm wants them to sell, then I encourage you to get more educated. Where do you start, you ask? Well, you can start right at Financial Abundance, Inc. And go to the website. Special offer this week for the first 5 people that can answer this trivia question, I will send you a copy of the Investor Awareness Guide. Complimentary copy, over a $50 value, the Investment Awareness Guide. I will send to you the first 5 people that go to Financial Abundance and go to the Ask the Coach section right on the front page. Can't miss it. There's this incredible picture of this hunky-looking guy. That would be me, I jest. This ugly guy on the front page. You just put your mouse over that, and it'll pop up an opportunity for you to ask the coach a question. And if you'll simply give me the answer to this trivia question, the first 5 people that come in, time-wise, you know, that hit it, the first 5, I will send a copy of the Investment Advisor Guide to any of you, with one exception. You have to be in the continental U.S., continental United States, okay? I will be happy to send you a copy because we have a fair amount of international listeners. This would be for U.S. Residents or continental. Well, let's make it U.S. residents, okay? I'll go there. U.S. residents. First 5 people to email or ask the coach, and it comes to my email, and answer this question. Why is FDR, former President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the longest-termed president, you know, had 4 terms. Why is FDR, back in the 40s, 30s and 40s, why is FDR's picture on the back of the dime? Why is FDR's picture on the back of the United States dime currency? You can answer that question. I'm going to send you an investor awareness guide with my compliments. All you need to do is go to Financial Abundance and type in the answer to that trivia question. Why is the late former President Franklin Delano Roosevelt on the back of the U.S. coin, the dime, the 10-cent? Respond to that and get the right answer. I'll be happy to send you the guide. If you respond and you give us the wrong answer, I will give you the right one. I hope this finds you well. Hope you're having a super day. Hope this podcast has enriched your life in some small way. If it has, share it with somebody else. Let's pass the word. Let's spread financial literacy. Paul Nichols, your host. Financial Abundance, it's your money. We'll talk to you next time. Have a great day.